Number 16B.
Now, let me tackle the whole question from another angle, from a very practical angle. Where does the Christ really naturally wants to accomplish is to be the Savior, to take a wrong, a material condition, and try to improve on that material condition so that there is no penalty in it, so that it is lifting up the whole situation into the realm of reality. And when one is considering that, one has the feeling, yes, what is my attitude, what is my consciousness that I should entertain in order that this is possible. So many students therefore use that rule, which they feel is the right rule, by taking out of the textbook the sentence, and I read you part of that sentence, namely, that mortal should so improve material belief by thought tending spiritually upward as to destroy materiality. If I read this, I ask each one, don't you think that this is a method that has been used over and over in the Christian Science field, that they knew that that mortals should improve really the material beliefs? And how can one improve material beliefs? And they were thinking one can improve it by thoughts tending spiritually upward, and tending it upward and upward until really we come to the point of destroying materiality. So this is a rule that or a method that is being used by Christian Scientists a lot. And I would like to just stop for 5-10 seconds, so to say, and ask, do you have made that experience or that observation too? That in talking with Christian Scientists or in asking yourself, is this not the method that you felt is being used in order to improve really materiality? Namely, that we improve it by thoughts tending spiritually upward, so as to destroy materiality. I don't know what's going on in your mind, I don't want to know it, but each one can ask himself, yes, that's a really good method. We have to see that we have good thoughts, that we have spiritual thoughts, and that we should see that with spiritual thoughts, we really should see that we can improve a situation, and we use those spiritual thoughts so much until finally the material situation is destroyed. Now, I put this forward because it is a very counterfeit of wedding the Word with the Christ. It's a method that is being used widely and wildly, both. So used widely because one feels, yes, the spiritual is real, the material is not good, is not harmonious, and I can overcome the material by thoughts tending spiritually upward. So I must entertain good thoughts and think about good thoughts so that we can overcome the disharmony of materiality. Now, I read this statement as part of a sentence. I did it with purpose, because if we take it out of the sentence, one suddenly begins to feel, ah, yes, that what I have read to you is really my attitude, or is the way that mostly things are being tackled. But the beginning of the sentence reads like this. It says, it is the condemnation of mortals to till the ground. It is not the Christ, it is the condemnation. It's the very opposite than the Christ, than the saving Christ. It's really a condemnation of mortals to till the ground. The subject comes from the second record of creation, where the false record is being shown, and that false record is when man was condemned to till the ground. As John Dolly usually used to say, they were condemned to till the ground to get some potatoes out of it and feed themselves so that they have strength enough to till the ground again, get some potatoes out of it to get enough strength to till the ground again in the sweat of their work. So that is the picture that we get here. So that is the reason why I tried to take the second part of the sentence out of its context and see that we take it out, that we feel, oh, that's a jolly good method. I think it would be jolly nice if the whole world would try with thought standing spiritually upward to try to overcome their problems until finally they disappear. Knowing now that this is not Christian Science, this is really a condemnation of mortals. We are condemned to till the ground. Why is it the wrong method? It is a wrong method because it goes out from a material basis. It goes out from if mortals try to improve material beliefs, so we go out from material beliefs and try to improve material beliefs. It's the very opposite of science, which says we never go out from a material belief because a material belief is always erroneous and can never give us and indicate the truth. Out of error never rises up to truth. So we have a false preposition, namely that we go out from a material basis, that we go out from the phenomena. So this is a big point that we must be clear all the time that we are not going out from a phenomena and then talk around that phenomena. Is it right? Is it wrong? How can we improve it? How we can make it better? And so on. It's starting from error. So remember this as we go along, that this is the Antichrist method, because the basis is imperfection, and out of imperfection never comes perfection. So improving matter is trying to improve the mortal. So in that case, we still go out that there is a mortal, that the mortal is a reality that has to be improved, so that there is a belief that we must arrive at the perfect mortal, that would be the aim, to bring out the perfect mortal instead of the spiritual idea of man. This is quite a different thing. So that we believe, and that you see then in the practice or in listening to people, not to all, but to quite a big extent. And if we go back to the beginning of the century, that was mostly talked about, really, that they felt, well, the mortal must be perfect, and he is the perfect man. So they wanted to have perfect every part of the mortal. So they were speaking about the perfect heart, about perfect lung, about the perfect kidney, about the perfect bowel, about the perfect liver, or everything that belonged to the organism of the mortal should be perfect, as if there were a perfect heart, a perfect liver, a perfect stomach, and so on. So this is tilling the ground. It's a condemnation. And only too often we think that way, that we say to a patient, well, your heart is not in trouble, you have a perfect heart, as if such a thing would exist. Such a thing does not exist, because God has not the heart, and not the kidney, and not the stomach, and not lungs, etc. God doesn't have that. Therefore, there is no perfection in a material organ. But then we have seen, especially in the beginning, I don't know how much this is still practiced. As far as I can see, it's still practiced very widely to bring out through healing a perfect heart, a perfect liver, a perfect lung, a perfect this and a perfect that, which would indicate that God's creation consists of perfect organs, therefore a perfect mortal. So this is the condemnation of mortals to till the ground, to go out from materiality, from organs, and by thought tending spiritually upward and say, no, I don't have a diseased heart, I have a perfect heart, even a spiritual heart, as if a heart could be spiritual, and not the counterfeit of an idea. Therefore, we see how careful we have to be in the practice of wedding the Word with the Christ. So if we try that method of the mortal, or the condemnation of mortal to till the ground, we'll always fail in our life or in our practice. So if I just would review it quickly, I would say never to go out from a material proposition. Never to go out really from the phenomena. That is the one and the first point. We go out from the Word, and the Word is always spiritual, the Word is always perfect. That is our starting point. Our starting point is God. That's why then in that passage which I read from the textbook, by the way, it's on page 545 on the top, and I would really appreciate if that passage would be picked up from time to time and pondered, so that one is quite sure that our attitude in practice starts out on the right basis. Because after showing this condemnation of mortals to till the ground, she naturally then corrects that condemnation and says, we are not condemned. There is now no condemnation. We have passed the Mosaic law. And says now, man, see, created by God, she goes right back to God and not to materiality, has given dominion over the whole earth. The notion of a material universe is utterly opposed to the theory of man as evolved from mind. So just as far as this gives the correct answer, so that it teaches us that we have a right approach to it. Again, I repeat it again, and I will repeat it many times again over the next 2-3 days, because I can see since decades and decades that we only too often go out from the phenomena, from a situation, from a political situation, from a situation of disease, from a situation of inharmony, from a situation of bad relationship, and then we are mesmerized by that situation and feel, how on earth can I improve it? What can I do? Well, I think I can improve it if I look at it more spiritually and to try to spiritualize matter. Try to spiritualize an error, and so to improve it. Whereas the attitude is, and I will come later back to the whole method, is naturally to put the whole proposition aside, not to look at it, not to argue with that proposition, not to talk inwardly, silently to that proposition. We know that we have quite a good conversation between our inner voice and the arguments of that come to us. Without opening our voice, we argue against each other, and that discussion goes on and on and on until we find ourselves right down in the ditch. So we have to be aware that this is a wrong standpoint, so that we go out really from man being created by God, and that man has not to be spiritualized, that man has not to be improved, that man is the idea of God and is anyway perfect. So that man has dominion, as she said, over the whole earth, which also means that we go out not only for ourselves, that we go out from a right opposition, but also that we see the patient and regard the patient not as an ignorant man, as a mortal that does not know God, that does not know the truth, but we go out from the fact that man generic man, but man as such, man as a species, is a spiritual idea and therefore knows the truth and knows God and loves the truth and knows that he is whole and that he is perfect. That's quite a different starting point. Yes, so with these introductory remarks, I would go now back to John and see what that first vertical is showing us, namely that development of the Word to the Christ. So it is not the development of a inharmonious situation to a harmonious situation. It's the development of the Word, which is already harmonious, to the Christ, that is anyway harmonious, but shows that that harmony is being brought out. When John Dolly was giving John in Oxford 1949, if I can make a footnote to this, I would say that that summer school of John Dolly in 1949, where he had taken the four gospels, to my sense, was the climax of his teaching. It was so terrific, so scientific, that I think afterwards he never tried to present his subject from that altitude. Not he did need to do it. It was quite enough that he did it. And then afterwards he lived another three quarters of a year on. He really, but we'll see that afterwards also, he really could see that that altitude of the science level, of the levels of science, and seeing the laws of interdependence ruling in the various Gospels, demanded afterwards the handling of evil. It was quite interesting that after that, what we would call spiritual altitude of the Oxford Summer School, and he came back in the autumn and took up the Bible weekly talks, he went on with Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was really that which took really the high vision and brought it right down to Israel, to the rotten states of Israel, and took it in order to analyze, uncover, and annihilate the rotten state of the consciousness in Israel, and showing that if we are willing to do that, to analyze, uncover, and annihilate evil, that then we have everything in our hand to resurrect Israel again to its native state, so that Israel could be brought back into its homeland and rebuild the temple until he finishes with the holy city. So we too will see that as we go along, that actually we need this high vision, not just in order to stay within that high vision, but to stay there and at the same time translate it right down to the point of handling evil in a scientific way. When he was showing us especially that point here from the Word to the Christ, he was very emphatic by telling us that the Word without the Christ is a great danger. That the Word without the Christ is not just the Word that is wonderful, that is magnificent, but that it also is a great danger. That that without the Christ, the Word has no power of demonstration. It doesn't work. He says it's deadly. He even said it's deadly to stay with the Word. Naturally, we know from our own experience that we are only too apt to stay only with the Word, that we like to go through the synonymous term, that we like perhaps to study the synonymous term and learn all about the ideas of the seventh synonymous term, and we do that, and then we think we have done all that has to be done for our consciousness, not realizing that we have only touched the one side of the holy city, the Word, and that we have not touched in that way the Christ. And only the Christ translates itself and comes to the human in order to destroy in the human what needs to be destroyed. So going from the Word to the Christ is really that which is absolutely necessary. Everything that only states the Word and talks about the Word is deadly, is a danger. Must have a Christ. That's why we must see that we go past the 3.5 and really make the mind, spirit and soul subjective to ourselves so that it becomes our inward principle. That mind, spirit, soul must become our inward principle, and then it begins to be subjective. At the moment it begins to be subjective. Subjective means then that we are at one with the origin, that we are in coincidence with the origin, and that naturally is the beginning of the Christ. It's the Emmanuel sense that Christ says, I'm one with God. So it's always a danger to stay with the letter and say and state the letter and not showing that that letter has a Christ, that it translates itself. So in the line of development in human history, we can see that really Jesus was the very first one that saw that he had to wed the Word with the Christ and to bring really the divine principle down to earth, so to say, right down to practical life. We can also see the inefficiency of arguing in science. When we argue in science, one student says so, the other student says another statement, and then they argue which is right and which is wrong, which might be good and which might be not good, if it's good for the reader or not for the reader, if it's right or wrong. All this argumentation is a danger. It's a terrific danger because it has no Christ in it. It doesn't give the Christ the least chance to operate within our consciousness as that which brings the light into our consciousness. And we'll see that as we go on in the Gospel of John. So we come to the very first touch of those empty boxes. See, if we have there from the Word to the Christ as a not underlined epitome, we would have to ask for a further finer mesh and say, yes, we must go from the Word to the Christ, but how on earth are we going to do that? It's nice to say you have to wed the Word to the Christ, but everybody will say, how can I do that? What do I do? What do I have to do? Just a statement like that is deadly. We must have the spiritual sense of it, and so John is trying to show it through four steps. So the first step, from the Word as the Word, therefore that first empty box there, is the story where with Nicodemus. We know that story of the of Nicodemus, that Nicodemus was a man that was very much interested in what Jesus was doing. He was a teacher in Israel, but he could see that really Jesus had the true answer. And he shows that in a fourfold way again. Now we constantly come to the quaternity of everything. Everything that Jesus presents or John presents is usually in the four, in the quaternity of the four. So he says at the very first thing, he says, I know that you come from that your teaching is from God and not from men. So that's a very great statement already, that your teaching is not from the teachers in the schools of the Pharisees, but it comes straight from God. You are a teacher, come from God. And then he says as a second one, and therefore you can do the things you do only because you are one with God, the Christ. That is your background, that you go out from God and that therefore God is with you. That means that you have the mind of Christ. See, that's something very different than to go out from phenomena, from materiality, and try by thought, trying to ascend spiritually to accomplish something. He goes out and says, no, your origin, your teacher is God, is the divine mind, the divine principle, and you are one with that divine principle. And Jesus said, yes, you are right. And if you do that too, he shows him the third side, Christianity, and shows him that if you have that attitude, then you will see and enter the kingdom of God. And you see now Christianity, the whole kingdom. Kingdom is naturally Christianity. Then you can enter the kingdom of God. And talking about this, he shows him that he has to be born anew, but the way that the Spirit wants him to be born anew. Not to be born anew from the flesh. Nicodemus asking, do I have to go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus naturally said, oh, don't be so silly. What comes from the flesh is always flesh, but that which comes from spirit is spiritual, so you jolly well have to go back to spirit. But, he says, the science of spirit is something that you cannot outline. The spirit comes, the spirit listens where it wants to go. You don't know from where it comes, nor whither it goes. You don't know anything. You only know that there is a science of spirit that is really accomplishing what it wants to accomplish with you. That is, you cannot outline in science. In every other material science, we can outline, because everything rests on determination. Every law in hard science is determined. If you know the cause, you know exactly the effect. In the spiritual world, you don't know this. And that's why it is so difficult to get deeper into the science of spirit, because we have to get go of the traditional classical concept of science. So it says, the wind blows where it listens. And you don't know from where it comes, nor where it goes. We have to let the spirit flow. You have to let the Christ flow. Then we give in to the Christ, then we don't interfere with our mind, with our human mind, and so only then the world is wedded to the Christ. Okay, make a break here.